From our studio in our office at the corner of 8th and Walton in Bentonville, Arkansas, welcome to Saturday Morning Meeting, brought to you in part by Dun & Bradstreet Credibility Corp, the leading provider of credit and credibility solutions for businesses. Saturday Morning Meeting covers Walmart, Sam's Club, and the consumer product companies that are represented on the racks and shelves throughout the country and around the world. Our focus is on the insights, trends, and best practices to help you as a supplier grow your business with the world's largest retailer. I'm Andy Shook, and thanks for joining us. Lisa Bone shares her analytics knowledge in swimming in a sea of data and provides a forecast of what analytics will look like in the years to come. Many of you live in Northwest Arkansas, but how much do you really know about the area? Today, Mike Malone of Northwest Arkansas Council is here to share some of his insider knowledge on what's happening now and what to expect in the future. But first, the headlines. Many major retailers match competitors' online prices, but Walmart has stuck to its policy of only matching in-store prices. However, this may soon change. According to the Associated Press, Walmart is testing online price matching in several cities, including Atlanta, Phoenix, Charlotte, and right here in Northwest Arkansas. Walmart began the tests in response to sluggish U.S. sales and other stores' aggressive holiday promotions. While the rest of us are still nibbling on the kids' Halloween candy, Walmart has already unveiled its first wave of holiday sales. According to a recent press release, Walmart rolled back prices on 20,000 products, including popular kids' toys, consumer electronics, and groceries. Walmart.com also began heavy holiday discounting, slashing prices on toys, televisions, and tablets. Even Savings Catcher, Walmart's loyalty app, is full of holiday spirit. Shoppers can now use the app to price match turkeys and hams. Walmart recently announced in a press release that it's pursuing new strategies in Japan, including lowering costs, remodeling stores, and improving the quality of fresh groceries. In fact, Walmart plans to expand the fresh grocery delivery service available through Seiyu.com. According to MarketWatch, Walmart will also close 30 underperforming Seiyu stores so that it can better fund and address these initiatives. But the big story here is their remodeling of 50 stores. Earlier this fall, Target announced that it was offering free shipping on all items through December 20th. Now, the Columbus Dispatch reports that Walmart's getting on the free shipping bandwagon by offering no-cost delivery on 100 hot holiday gifts, such as Disney's Frozen merchandise. This is the first time Walmart has offered such a deal. In addition, Walmart will offer some 24-hour Cyber Monday deals early in hopes of satisfying eager holiday shoppers. Amanda Apple of 8th and Walton usually fills you on important retail events that have just taken place, but this week she's here to tell you about an important event that's coming up, one you and your entire team can participate in.
On-shelf availability, it frustrates and plagues us all. Everyone involved in the retail supply chain in any capacity knows OSA is a problem and one that costs us an estimated $3 billion a year. Well, to help you get your fair share of that $3 billion, on December 3rd, three experts on OSA are leading an all-day class and adventure. But in addition to solid solutions and valuable practical information, this class is also an amazing team-building event. The day includes several hands-on learning experiences that are eye-opening. All attendees are sure to have several aha moments about OSA, and supplier teams can start planning on the spot how to capture their fair share of that $3 billion in unclaimed sales. Naturally, everyone is welcome to attend this important class, and because we think this class is such a value to the entire team, 8th and Walton has developed a special group rate. To find out more, just email me or give me a call at 479-715-6700, extension 801.
How does a supplier stop drowning in his data? Lisa Bone of RSI offers some clear solutions.
I'm here today with retail analytics guru Lisa Bone of RSI. Lisa, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give us a little bit of your background and some context?
Great. I basically grew up in the business of direct marketing. I'm from the Northeast. For some of you who can't tell, I'm a New Yorker born and bred. I've retransplanted here for 15 years. But I came up through the direct marketing and telemarketing industry doing database marketing and analytics, which started that passion for turning data into insights. Sam's recruited me to run membership, benefits, credit, and research in 1998. So my family moved here and quickly became involved in the world of Walmart.
Right.
And really enjoyed my time. I can't think of a more formative, developing environment for me to be in. And then it was time to get a little bit more entrepreneurial, and I ran the Shiloh Technologies team for almost 9 years, working with hundreds of suppliers and helping them advance their analytics and reporting. Spent a brief time with IRI, learning the world of syndicated data and helping Walmart charge forward now that they entered the world of data sharing, and helping them leverage that data to outperform their competitors. And then I found my home at RSI, which is where I currently am because of their vision for where analytics are going, dovetails beautifully with mine, which is all about integrated information to fuel predictive analytics and to move that business forward away from just Excel reporting.
Got it. So the limitations of Excel in 2014, we're still talking about spreadsheet junkies and Excel being the primary driver. What are the limitations that you still see with that?
Well, Excel is a great tool. You're always going to want to have it in your kit. It has amazing capabilities, but it can't be the only tool in your kit. The simple volume of data with a retailer like Walmart and with Sam's requires the ability to bring together a lot of data, update it quickly, integrate it with other data, and then produce reports and truly do analytics. And you simply can't do all that manually as effectively as you can with automation. So while Excel is a great tool and should be used, it shouldn't be the only thing used. I would say the 80-20 rule really is what I would recommend to folks, that they focus on analytics 80% of the time and reporting 20% of the time. And until they get there, put improvements in place to get into that state so you can focus on analytics.
How many systems do you see a typical analyst having to deal with? What is the magnitude of the problem that the talent has to deal with?
Well, I'll quote a category manager that I worked with last year, and she looked at me in almost exasperation and said, I have 50 different software packages I have to log into and learn. Yeah. I can't be an expert at everything. I need something that's easier to use, and I need some automation, and I need some hand-holding because I can't be the master of all of it. And I thought to myself, 50? Internal systems, external systems, third party, wow, that's a lot. Who could learn all that and be an expert at every one of them?
Right. What are you seeing for best practices? How are people managing their way through that?
The best practices mean that you bring together the data, right? So the basic premise I would challenge is that folks need to realize that automation is here, mm-hmm. and it's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. We need to be more efficient, we need to be more effective, we need to get further and faster answering why and what we can do to fix it and how we go set us up for a successful mm-hmm. future. So automation simply means get the data all together with as much automation as you can, harmonize it. What does that mean, that great fancy word? Mm-hmm. Line up your data. You know, your items, match your items from different sources of data, line up your geographies, your stores, your DCs, markets, and your calendars, and have that all automated, and have the regular reports. Everybody needs to know what sold, where, and when, but they don't need to spend all their time doing it. So get those things automated, so now you have those exception alerts that limit your business in front of you that you start to act on instead of, I start my day pulling data and massaging reports and spending half my week producing those instead of acting on what I saw coming out of the weekend.
What can the executives take from some of that in terms of what are even the right questions to ask? I mean, are they asking the right questions? Are they getting to meaning in a relatively quick way? Or is it just more about the same old reports that they've always used?
Well, do you see? I think like everything, there's no one answer.
Right.
There's a little bit of all of that going on. There are some teams that have recognized that automation is the key, and then really getting into your company and understanding your business process.
Right.
And I would challenge that the roles of category, sales, supply chain, and retail operations should not work in data silos nor business process silos, because what each of them does affects each other.
Sure.
So bring the data together, map out your business process, map out your short-term requirements and your long-term requirements, and then start to put those together to screen solutions against those. Don't go into it with a blank sheet of paper. And I've seen a lot of teams do that, that don't quite know how to shop for solutions because they haven't really honed in on the requirements. Key part of the process, you can't hit a target you're not all focused
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So what's the crystal ball look like? What's the next 2 to 5 years look like from what you're saying, given your the last 20 years of experience you've had?
Yeah, I think it's about integrated information. So we have what sold, where, and when. We know the transactions going on at the stores. We know what's flowing through DCs if you use DCs. And with data sharing and now getting into who's the shopper analytics, the causal data, weather data, SNAP, WIC, what's driving, what's your hurricane for your product? Is it a county fair? Is it something local that you don't have your hands around? What's selling at other retailers that you're not carrying, that you're missing the opportunity on? So you have to bring together all of the transaction data, all of the retailer data, all of the third party and causal data that you can to then move into the, all right, well, who am I selling to? How do they want to be sold to? And how do they want to be delivered?
Lisa, that's a fantastic set of insights on this whole landscape associated with data. Would you come back in the future and talk to us a little bit about what this means for talent, finding the right people?
Oh, I'd love to. This is an area of passion for me. Anybody who knows me, this is what lights me up on fire and gets me going every day and helping advance us to the kind of skill sets that we need in the future, which, you know, bless the Excel and Access talent in this community. It's well beyond what most people understand.
Sure.
But let's shift those skills into true analytics and driving the business forward with real actionable insights. Love to come back. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for coming in. Saturday morning meeting, we'll be right back.
CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
What else can you do to make sure your products make it to the shelf? Suppliers know that product flow is critical to having products on the shelf. That's why OSA is a key focus for Walmart and its suppliers. The 8th and Walton OSA course, presented in partnership with Crossmark, explains the importance of inventory levels and correct labeling, and teaches you how to use the tools that measure and improve OSA. Become a smarter supplier. Contact 8th and Walton today.
Joining me today for Retail Insights is Stan Zalowski, president and co-founder of Movista. Welcome, Stan.
Glad to be here.
So tell me, what is our topic today?
We'll talk a little bit about code today, about application development code.
Okay.
So in this case, we're talking about mobile applications that run on smart devices, right? It could be a phone.
And that's
a tablet.
Everyone's kind of moved to, right? Is the mobile app?
It's certainly where the world seems to be moving.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're hearing that, right? And so we've had a lot of interaction with clients or potential clients or just friends lately who've asked some questions. And I just want to put it out there and give people a little bit of insight into the differences between different application frameworks.
Okay.
Okay.
And what are those frameworks?
Well, let's talk about HTML5, which is a traditional web-based framework, and essentially what it allows you to do is build a website, which then gets displayed and looks pretty good across any mobile device that's out there. Really good for a BYOD environment. And then on the other end of the stick,
the BYOD is
bring your own device.
Bring your own device.
Right?
Okay.
Thank
so it works
that.
On just about anything.
It works on anything with a web browser.
Okay.
Right. It has some limitations. We'll talk about those. But then also the native side, which is essentially I'm going to build an application. It's only going to work on Android, or it's only going to work on an iOS device.
Oh, okay.
All right, so
okay.
just real briefly, in HTML, the upside is it'll work on any device that has a web browser. The downside is you have very limited storage. It's artificially limited storage. And it really, for the most part, requires that you have connectivity. True HTML5 means, in other words, if I don't have the internet, I can't do it. Anyone who's ever tried to play Words with Friends on an airplane understands exactly what I'm talking about.
So why is this important to suppliers?
Well, it's important because, just let me finish with this native part. If you have a native application, you have a lot more capability to take photos, to get data, save it locally. Okay. So here's the difference. If I'm in Bentonville or a big city and I'm doing work, I can have connectivity, no problems. But if I'm in the middle of the woods and I'm on a web app, I'm not going to be able to see it. I know that's a lot to swallow, but people should know it's the difference between going to the local bowling alley and Disney World.
And it's important for suppliers to know, especially the leadership, to know this as well.
Absolutely.
Stan,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in today
sure.
and helping us with this
sure.
topic. We'll be right back.
Up next is Mike Malone of the Northwest Arkansas Council with his update on our thriving area. I'm here today with Mike Malone, president of the Northwest Arkansas Council. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
We're so glad you could come in today. We want to hear what's new with Northwestern Arkansas.
Great.
So let's start off with XNA.
Perfect. A lot is happening at XNA, and it always seems to be happening there. There's construction. They've had the terminal addition, which everybody loves.
Oh, really, it is. It's great.
Yeah,
it's so much classier flying in and out of there. Yeah. It really is.
So what they're doing now is renovating the older part of the terminal to catch it up and to make it match. And I'm very confident that it's going to be a seamless transition between the two. So that's underway.
Okay.
There's talk of the parking situation and talk now of even a parking deck that's in the future.
Oh,
I don't know the date, but they're talking about it.
No promises yet.
Some work on the runway that's been ongoing for a while, and the alternate landing surface is continuing to serve well. There's even more concrete plans about an airport access road, so a smooth, seamless connection to get from I-49
so
all the way to the airport.
So of this and that and the flood planes and
Exactly. So that's contingent on the highway department, the Arkansas Highway Department, building a segment of a new road that they say they're going to let to contract this December. Once that goes to contract, the airport road will then be in the works.
It's so interesting because I've talked to a lot of suppliers, and it's so funny. They come out here, and they're in Northwest Arkansas with their companies.
Right.
And after about 2-3 weeks, they bring their wives out or their husbands out, and they come out and they have to make that trek from the XNA to Bentonville or to Rogers, and it's just amazing. They're like looking around at all the cows and everything else.
Wondering where civilization is, right?
They're like, are you sure this is a city here?
That's right.
But no, that's great. That's great.
And I think two things are happening there. This road will be seamless, very smooth transition from the interstate to the airport. But I also think that as our cities continue to grow and they're growing westward, I think we're going to see development around the airport.
What about the prices? I mean, I think for suppliers, that's a pretty big deal.
It's a very big deal for suppliers, for big industry
here.
Absolutely, for leisure travelers, for a family of four. It's very expensive to travel out of there. A couple things are happening there. The last time I was here, we talked some about an effort to pursue a low-cost air carrier.
Okay.
The airport team is still actively working to recruit one of the low-cost carriers. They're meeting regularly. In fact, we had a meeting this week on it in our office to talk about it. So I think they're talking. When the airlines are going to come over, I don't know, but a nice dialogue's underway. The other thing, though, that's a little change from the last time I was here is that the average fares out of an XNA have crept down slightly.
Okay.
It may not feel like a lot because they're among the highest in the country, and a little less than the highest in the country is still very high. But what we're seeing is a lot of other airports, including Tulsa and some of the surrounding, their average airfares are creeping up.
Okay.
So the difference or the premium of flying out of a different airport isn't as great. And so we're seeing a lot more tickets purchased out of XNA. The passenger counts are way up.
Okay.
And that's good for our regional economy, and it makes people's lives easier, too.
Switching gears, I-49. Right? We've got what also known as, or used to be known as, 540.
Right.
Everybody still calls it that. So there's a new bend in the road. We've got some new concrete that's gone up.
Right.
What's happening with I-49?
Those of us that have been here a very long time call it the bypass. You can really date yourself that way. There's all kinds of construction. There's orange barrels everywhere.
Yeah.
But that means progress. Voters approved a sales tax, which will widen I-540 from Fayetteville to Bentonville.
This is only the first phase?
Absolutely. They're doing it in 2 to 5 mile segments.
Okay.
And they're letting discrete contracts so that they don't disrupt everybody's commute for 35 miles up and down the highway. And we're about to see a new segment come online. They were striping it over the weekend. In fact, I suspect we both drove on it. But it'll go to 6 lanes, 3 on each side. As soon as that's done, they'll let a contract and they'll move along to another segment along the corridor.
Okay.
But by about 2017, the whole thing will be 6 lanes wide all the way from Fayetteville to Bentonville.
That'll be awesome.
A lot of progress.
500,000 people, that's what Northwest Arkansas, the population is. What does that mean for the area?
Well, it's a symbolic milestone. It's a lot easier to say we're a region of
half a million.
I love it. I had already been rounding up, but in economic development, you do that. But I think it means a great deal. We know some site selectors or consultants that help companies figure out where to relocate or expand. Sometimes they'll strike a metropolitan area from a list just based on small population. And so for certain types of projects, 500,000 is a threshold that just keeps us on a list, gets us in the game, gets us under consideration.
So, and I assume restaurants and other businesses that want to come in here, that number is a milestone.
And it may be even more significant for retail and restaurants. And so we are optimistic that we're going to get a lot of new offerings.
So you dream big, obviously, in this job.
Right.
A million? Could we get there?
Yes, we will get there. I look at kind of the growth trajectory of places like Research Triangle region, the Raleigh-Durham region of North Carolina, southern region, multi-city region that's grown at a great rate. I look at Austin, Texas, 20 years ago. They were wondering if they were going to hit some of these. Absolutely, we will. I'm not going to predict when, but I know it's coming.
Northwest Arkansas is predicted to be the third fastest growing economy through 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What's causing all the growth?
I think it's a multifaceted growth story here. We got large employers that did better than most during the recession and now are coming out of the recession incredibly strong. So those are our flagship industries. We've got a great education component here. We've got higher ed institutions, the University of Arkansas, great private universities like John Brown University, the Community College, and others. And then we've got the supplier base. No other region in the country has 1,200 to 1,400 supplier offices located here. Some large, some small. But it gives us access to the greatest minds, the greatest business talent in the world, and many of them are stationed here. And we love it when they're stationed here and stay. That really helps.
We're going to talk some more about some of the changes that are coming to Northwest Arkansas. But first, let's take a quick break. Saturday morning meeting will continue shortly.
Bad OSA accounts for $3 billion in unclaimed sales each year. Equip yourself to tackle one of the toughest issues in retail, on-shelf availability. Take the 8th and Walton class on OSA and score big. Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
And we're back with Mike Malone. So you've been on the show before, and you said that a lot changes when you break the 100th barrier, when you cross that 100th market barrier.
Right.
So last time you were here, you said we were 106th. Where are we now?
We think, we're waiting on Census Bureau numbers, but we think we're 105th now. We think we've grown faster
Who'd
than
we beat out?
Santa Rosa, California.
Santa Rosa, California, all right.
Lexington, Kentucky's next, and there's some larger areas. It's a jump between 104 and above, but we continue to grow at a faster rate than a lot of these markets.
And when you break that 100th barrier, I mean, obviously the balloons fall, you know, everything happens like
that's
that,
right.
But what does that mean?
Money falls from the trees. Again, symbolic. But I think it means we'll get a lot more attention, that certain retail offerings, just like they look for large populations of 500,000 above, many will just operate in top 100 markets. So we'll get more looks that way. I'm excited because so many of these places rated analyses only rate the top 100 metro areas. So we're not even being evaluated. Sometimes a list will come out, and we look at the criteria or how they rank them. We'd be a top 10 region based on the criteria they're using. Well, we're not even in the evaluation because we're 105th. So we're right there, and it'll get us a lot more attention, that's
and
for sure.
How much have we grown, like just even in the past 15 years, 16 years?
So we've doubled in population as a region. In the 1990 census, we had around 200,000, and we're at 500,000 today. So
And I moved here in 1998, so I've been out here for 16 years.
And like you, so many people move here for a great professional opportunity. I don't know you personally, whether you were intended to stay.
I moved here with Kraft,
But so many folks move here and probably think they're on a 3 or 5 year rotation, they wind up staying. And we have one of the highest rate of in-migration, so more people move in than move out net in migration than most metropolitan areas.
Well, I think you can see it because you see families coming in here, and it's not just the economic development and some of those things, the AMP Theater and the nice hotels and everything else we've got here, but it's also really, it's just kind of a nice area to raise a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we were able to do that with our kids. You know, we came here when they were in like sixth grade, and it really is a great place.
I agree.
Last time we talked to you, you mentioned also that Northwest Arkansas doesn't have a lot of shared workspace or a Northwest Arkansas venture capital firm. So has anything changed with that?
Yes, some progress in that regard. What we talked about before is needing to figure out ways to meet the needs of entrepreneurs and startups who have a great idea, a technology or an innovation, and they want to build a company around it. And sometimes it's happening in somebody's garage, sometimes it's in a spare bedroom. And within Fayetteville, there's a shared workspace now that's used by some entrepreneurs, a lot of technology entrepreneurs. And there's talk about replicating that in some or all of the larger cities in Northwest Arkansas. Early stage companies need somewhere to work, they need mentors, but they also, in many cases, need funding.
Right.
And so we've made a lot of progress in identifying funders or early stage investment funds that like to take a chance or take a shot at some of these companies. There's a lot of good upside risk, but there's downside risk too. We still haven't figured out how to find investment resources for the later stage companies, companies that have a management plan, that have revenues, and that are ready to scale if they can get investment. And so that's a vulnerability for our region. We've got some folks that are meeting, working to figure out if we can have a Northwest Arkansas-based venture capital fund. I'm optimistic, but I always am. But that's a gap, and if we don't address it, the risk is that out-of-state venture capital funds will see these great innovations here and pick them
off. Just take them off,
So we need to address that. And the right people are working on it, that's for sure.
So what's on the horizon for the area? What, if you look ahead, and what are we seeing?
All kinds of potential. Very excited. We had a State of the Region luncheon last week where we had invited community members and the U of A Economic Center for Economic Research presented how we're doing, and it's a very promising horizon for us. We've got innovative companies, we've got a vibrant startup scene, and we've got a great workforce. So I think that the future looks very bright. The Amazium is the next arts culture amenity that I'm excited about, the Children's Museum that should open sometime next year.
And it's amazing how many people don't even realize that, that we have a museum and, just, you know, some of the things that are in Northwest Arkansas. They come in here and start picking out those little gems, and those little things that are happening.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming in today.
You bet.
You've shared all kinds of great information, and I'm sure the suppliers and just people that live in the community will just appreciate all this information. So
thanks
thank you so much,
me.
And hopefully we can have you back again.
Appreciate
We'd love
it.
To.
Thank you.
And Saturday morning meeting, we'll be right back.
Every day, shoppers are bombarded with traditional brand messages outside the store in hopes that these marketing dollars will drive in-store sales. Closure Media drives retail sales by connecting brands with 95 million Walmart shoppers per year while they are in the store. Through innovative programs at Walmart's photo and money centers, Closure Media converts Walmart shoppers to purchasers of your brand. With reported redemption rates up to 7 times the national FSI average, Closure Media drives sales. For more info, visit us at closuremedia.com.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today.
My colleagues and I were lucky enough to have a custom course put together for us by Ethan Walden, IRS, our instructor. It focused on all the different aspects of what an analyst might need from retailing to work with Walmart. I think what surprised me most is that there were so many things that I had not been using in Retail Link that would be valuable for me and that I hadn't attempted to use yet. And also just some tips and shortcuts. Iris has a lot of experience, and she knows how to help you find things that are going to help you do your work.
Our thanks to all of today's guests. In the upcoming weeks, we'll speak with Jeff Anderman of Turning Point Capital for 6 CPG financing options in 6 minutes. And then we'll meet some folks from DataRank for a special holiday report on which foods people are talking about. You might be surprised at their findings. As always, we appreciate your taking the time to join us. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Andy Shook, and from all of us at Saturday Morning Meeting, thanks for watching. Our guests enjoy staying at 21C Museum Hotel and hosting dinners, meetings, and product launches there.